All right, welcome to the free stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton. This is the Week 12 edition of the show. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 6-4 now on the season, having lost a couple of games in a row, are heading out west to Los Angeles to take on the Rams on Sunday Night Football in an effort to get back on the winning side of things after a couple of weeks, and especially last week, that did not go very well for the team. But they have a chance with this game on Sunday night to erase a whole lot of bad feelings or compound them. And that's just the way it goes when you get through the tough part of your schedule like the Bucs are. No rest for the weary here, as the Rams are certainly one of, and some people are arguing, are the best team in the NFL. That remains to be seen, and it doesn't really matter right now. We're going to talk about it all on the show today because there's a few things I want to get to here, a few themes, if you will. And I'm sorry for the show being a day late. Had a really busy week this week. So now that I'm recording this on Friday instead of my usual Thursday, we'll start a couple things from the Bills game I want to talk about real quick. But obviously, we're more looking ahead to Sunday night than we are looking back at last Sunday, as we'll talk about the game in LA and the Bucs' chances and everything else that goes with it. But first of all, real quick, I'll just say this about the game on Sunday. Obviously, it was a very disappointing effort by the Buccaneers' defense in particular. And it's even more disappointing in hindsight now, having gotten to watch the game on Thursday Night Football, where the Texans went out there and absolutely stymied Josh Allen, who went off for 6 combined touchdowns against the Bucs and had none on Thursday Night Football. And the Texans, of course, I always tell you guys this, though. It's not to make an excuse. Situations are so important in the NFL. They matter so much. When you play a team, you are not getting that same version of a team that you may be getting a different week. Teams have versions, basically. They're not just the same thing. So the Bills, and the schedule didn't work out for the Bucs here, had beaten the Chiefs, if you remember that, a few weeks ago. That was a huge game for them, their Super Bowl. So what happened with the Dolphins-Bills? The Dolphins got a different version of the Bills than the Chiefs got, and it benefited them. And the Dolphins went out there, and we know they're not, well, maybe they are, I don't know, but we don't think they're better than the Bills, right? But they went out there and didn't just win, but absolutely thumped the Bills because the Bills were letting down after that Chiefs game. So then, in turn, that was bad for the Bucs the next week because the Bucs got a much different version of the Bills than the Dolphins got the week before. And I know the Bucs were coming off of a loss too, but it just didn't line up well for the Bucs last week. So, yeah, it's not to make an excuse. I'm just saying you get different versions of teams, different times of year, and different, you know, depending on what happened the week or weeks before. So now we get the Rams, who are coming off a series of big wins. They've been beating everybody by double digits. Their only 2 losses of the season were very close losses to really good teams, the Eagles and the 49ers. And I'm already reading stuff all over Twitter. I'm reading stuff on the internet. I'm hearing stuff on radio and TV. To hear people tell it, don't even get on the plane and go out there. I disagree a little bit. I'm not saying, I would not be even itty-bitty bit surprised if the Bucs get creamed on Sunday night, or if they lose a close one where they're game, they're up for it, they play tight, and they get themselves in position to win, but they just come up just short. You know, none of that would surprise me. But I will say this. They're going to have to be more aggressive offensively on Sunday night. It's not going to be one of those games where it's time to be, you know, cowering in the corner. And here's the thing about the Bills game that pisses me off the most last week. And that's it. We're moving on to Los Angeles, okay? And you've heard it all by now, but I wanted to say my piece. It's hard to win these games in any circumstances. It's hard to go on the road in the NFL and beat anybody, let alone Buffalo. You know, let alone Buffalo coming off of a really bad loss. That's a good team. I know they lost this Thursday night. Now they're down to 7-4, and they're 2 games back in the AFC East, and they're just a wild card. Trust me, they're good, okay? And they have their issues, sure, but they're a good team, and it's hard. So I get it. But what always gets my goat, and this goes for my own life, it goes for non-sports things in general, things are really hard in life, whatever they are, they're hard enough. When you do it to yourself and make it harder through your own volition or by your own hand, man, that really irks me, okay? So you're playing a Bills team that is just absolutely doing whatever they want against you when they have the football, and you haven't been able to stop them all day. Somehow, despite that, you're still in the football game, to the Bucs' credit, I guess. And so now it's fourth down and two. Actually, let's go back. It's third down and two. It's middle of the fourth quarter, about 7:45 to go. You got the ball at your own 39. You're down 37-32. You've given up 37 points on the road, and somehow you have the ball in your hands with a chance to take the lead late in the fourth quarter. Pretty good, honestly, considering how that game had gone. And you're facing a rush defense for everything else that Buffalo's good at. You're facing a rush defense that sucks and that you've been chewing up all day. So what do they do on third and two? They throw a low percentage pass, tough play, which that in and of itself isn't the worst thing in the world. But when they did that, I assumed, okay, well, they're probably going to go for this. And then on fourth and two, they punt the football to the Bills, who have got Josh Allen and who have scored 37 points already. And as I said before, have gone absolutely up one side of the field and down the other all day long with no reason to believe it will be any different this time. And Todd Bowles in general, because we used to be a lot more critical of him on this show, as far as fourth down decisions and like when to kick, when to punt, when to go, field goals, all that stuff, two-point conversion, just general like strategy stuff. And he got a lot better. In fact, he didn't just get a lot better. He went out and got somebody to help with that and said, hey, we want to get better at this. You know, made a guy, a specific guy for that. To his credit, he did that. And the difference has shown. He's been a lot better. If you listen to my show, and if you're listening to it now, maybe you've listened to other ones, then you know that we've spent a lot less time talking about these things lately, and by lately I mean the past couple years or so, than we used to. So he's gotten better with that. But he kind of reverted to his old ways here. And this is some of the... there's no formula. Offensive coaches can win Super Bowls. Defensive coaches can win Super Bowls. Obviously, both have. But when you have a defensive coach, here's my one issue with defensive coaches. They tend to be a little bit too okay with not having the football because they're defensive coaches. And they tend to be a little bit too okay with saying, well, it doesn't matter how the game's gone, or it doesn't matter what your strength or weaknesses is. Well, we'll let the defense. Our defense is going to do it. Even if they've given up a bazillion points already, damn it, this time, defense. We're going to put it in our defense's hands. That's what they do. They're defensive coaches. So on fourth and two, they punt the ball down to the Bills, you know, Bills territory, whatever it was. And it was just an okay punt because, you know, Riley Dixon. But anyway, I always do this. Whenever teams punt when they should not, I always make a point to count how many plays it takes for the other team to then advance the ball past the spot where the fourth down attempt would have gone had they failed, the spot where they were so afraid the other team was going to get the ball that we must forego our best chance to score points and give them the ball because we don't want them to get to this spot on the field. We got to give it to them way down there. Took the Bills four plays to cross the Bucks 39. It took the Bills four plays to cross the spot on the field that the Bucks were so afraid they were going to get to that they gave away their best chance to take a late lead so they could punt it to them after they'd already scored 37 points. Four plays! That makes me mad. And this whole week before the Bills game, there was all this talk about killer instinct. And listen, it was one of, there's some weeks where like there becomes this narrative and this media thing where we're just going to make up a storyline. It's not actually a thing, but we'll just talk about the, I get it. Reporting is hard. Talk radio is hard. I've done talk radio. Sometimes you just invent bull bleep just to have something to talk about. So the whole thing last week was killer instinct. Somebody asked Baker Mayfield at the press conference, well, you think the Bucs lack a killer instinct? And then he said yes. And then, so because he said yes, now they go ask Todd Bowles. And it becomes a theme, and they're writing articles. And it's all just complete, like I said, bull bleep. It's just made up, invented stuff that means nothing. And I get annoyed by stuff like that. But since we brought it up and since we were talking about it, that is the antithesis of a killer instinct. And again, you got a team with a bad rushing defense. You can run the ball on third and two. You'll probably get it then, and not even have to worry about fourth down. But even if you don't, you're going to have a much better look at fourth down. Maybe you get a yard, it's closer. Or maybe, I mean, just there was no reason at that point in the game to be thinking anything was we need to score a touchdown on this drive right now, period, end of story, and we're going to do whatever it takes to get it. And instead, they punted the football. Bills crossed that spot on the field in four plays. And then I think it was only like two or three more after that. They were in the end zone, and it was 44-32, and there wasn't any more reason to leave the game on the television anymore. Really, really, really frustrating when you do it to yourself. And that's the part. I mean, if you're going to do that, and then there was another third down earlier where it was third and longer, and it was like third and eight, and they called a quick screen, which the guy was tackled. I can't remember who they threw it to. But the play was tackled literally the instant the guy caught the ball. And, you know, if you're going to call offense that way, if that's how we're going to do things, then yes, I agree. Do not get on the airplane and go fly out to Los Angeles to go play Sunday night. There is no need. They will have to get much better offensively. They'll have to get better in the red zone where they are now, and this is touchdown only, not field goal. 52% on the year, that's 25th in the NFL. You get Josh Allen, I mean, again, these things don't happen very often. You get Josh Allen throwing a ball with bucks wrapped around his waist, throws it directly to one of your guys at the five-yard line, you got first and goal, and you kick a field goal. They're going to have to get better with that. They're going to have to find a way to get a pass rush. And let me say this, okay? As far as the Rams game goes, their right tackle is out, Rob Haverstein. That helps a little bit. Obviously, Hassan Reddick is out. We'll go over the injuries. Actually, let's go over the injuries right now for the Bucs. Jamel Dean will not play. That's a problem. Hassan Reddick will not play. That's a problem. Bucky Irving is still out. That's anybody out is a problem, but that's less of a problem. I think the Bucs are okay, and I love Bucky. Can't wait for him to be back. He's a difference maker. But they're okay with Sean Tucker and Rashad White. And then Bredesen looked like maybe. He was out there on the practice field earlier this week, and I was like, oh, maybe, but not yet. Maybe next week. Out for this one. That's a problem. Okay, but as far as the pass rush, you know, the Buccaneers against the Rams front there, and like I said, the Rams are without a right tackle. The only thing that's the saving grace here is, I think with Matthew Stafford, first of all, he can carve up the blitz. He's a veteran. It's going to be hard to scheme up pressure. And I always yell on this show. I always scream on Twitter. If you're not getting pressure with four, scheme some. Figure it out, Todd Bowles. Like, find a way to get back there. That might not be so easy this week because Matthew Stafford can make you pay for that and make you wish you had just kind of used your four guys and hope for the best. So, but with that said, he's also not very mobile. He's not going to extend plays. Even if the pass rush isn't completely on point, if they can just get a little bit of push, they can probably force some throwaways or force, you know, some shorter stuff, whatever. Just make him get rid of the ball. I know you're not going to probably have five sacks in this game, but just don't let the guy stand there with not even a care in the world, which has been happening in some of these games, because that's the difference for all these other things we talk about right now. And the Bucs defense has still been good in general. Obviously, a very bad game last week. But the reason they're just okay and not great is because of that lack of a pass rush. Even when you're talking about the secondary, which has been really good, even, you know, the injuries are what they are, and Jamel Dean being out really hurts. I want to see what they do there. Benjamin Morrison, he's a work in progress, and he didn't have a chance to do anything in training camp or anything in the preseason, and now he's learning on the fly in the middle of, like, the toughest part of our schedule, in the middle of a, you know, playoff race. It's not a great idea. So I thought Kendall Vildor has been okay when he's filled in. Either put Parrish, like get him out of the slot and put him out there. Parrish is a stud. You can put Parrish anywhere. All right, he's a stud opposite Zion, or put Vildor or something. But if we're leaning on Morrison, that's a problem. That is a freaking problem. That worries me. And so, like I said, Chris Godwin is in. That's going to be helpful. That'll help the offense a little bit. And I want to keep seeing more offense pushing the ball down the field. And like I always say, I don't mean the deep stuff. I mean the intermediate 10 to 20 yard middle of the field. We should be chowing there. And I know it's been tough with the injuries, but Tez Johnson can do it and Sterling Shepard can do it. And now you've got Godwin back, hopefully a better version of Godwin than we saw the first time he came back, because that wasn't much. And obviously Abuka. And you can roll with that. Like, you can roll with that and see what's going on. Bucky needs another week. Now, let's talk about Bucky real quick, because there was reports out there all this week, starting with Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio. He was on his show with Chris Sims, and he alluded to an issue with Bucky. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, okay, but I just want to bring it up real quick. He alluded to an issue with Bucky Irving that had nothing to do with the actual physical injury with the shoulder and the foot, that he was going through some stuff. It was kind of vague, left it at that. Then on JoeBucksFan.com, the Joes made their post, which you can go see on JoeBucksFan.com, saying, okay, yeah, we heard about this a few weeks ago. We didn't want to say anything at the time. There wasn't enough details. But now that Florio is out there with it, we'll say it. And so now, since then, there's been more light shed on it, that it's kind of just a mental health thing, whatever it is. I feel icky, like, talking about stuff like this. Like, that's a private thing. And if I were Bucky Irving, I wouldn't want all that dirty laundry aired. Not that it's dirty laundry. I don't mean that. I may make that sound the wrong way. But you know what I'm saying. That's a private thing. I wouldn't want everybody talking about my personal mental health, even though I'm doing that right now. But here's the thing. I like Florio. I'm not one of these people that, oh, Mike Florio. I like Florio. I thought, if you hear the clip, he's talking about it, but he doesn't go into detail. And he's talking with Chris Sims, and Chris Sims, like, inquires for more detail. And Florio does one of those things where he's like, oh, I'll tell you off the air later. No. You don't do that, okay? You don't have to know everything if you're a reporter. And what you do know, you don't have to tell everybody everything if you're a reporter, okay? But if you allude to something, then you either don't allude to it, or if you allude to it, expound on it. Don't do that, you know, annoying chick on Facebook thing. Have you ever seen this? Like there's that chick on Facebook who'll, like, post something stupid like, ooh, I did a thing, ... and that's their post. And then it's total attention-seeking behavior, you know, the most annoying, obnoxious, like, I know people like this, you know, like, oh, I did a thing. And then in the comments, ooh, what is it, sister? You know, her other girlfriend. Oh, I'll tell you. I'll message you. I'll DM you. No. If you're going to post it on Facebook, come out with it or don't. But don't do this attention-trolling garbage. Maybe it's a millennial thing with chicks. I don't know. The chicks are, I don't want to sound sexist. Guys do it too. Don't do that stuff. But anyway, Todd Bowles addressed it and said, next week, not this week. So he's not going to play against the Rams. He'll play against the Cardinals. You know, it was the first time he's ever been hurt, which is a blessing. But even going back to college and high school, he hadn't really been hurt. And it was a little bit tough to swallow. And so this week he'll be out. Then once we get going against the Cardinals, everything should be back to normal there. Fine. But don't, and that goes for everything in life, not just reporting, not just journalism, not just sports, okay? Don't be that person that teases stuff. Don't be that person that throws something out there but doesn't want to go into details just to gauge reaction. No. Either say it or don't. Otherwise, spare us, okay? We don't, you know, your life isn't a movie. We don't care. Don't try and tease everybody. So anyway, that's what the Bucks are faced with on Sunday night as they go to take on the Rams. This is what I call an if you are what you say you are situation. There's an old song. I think it's Lupe Fiasco. He's a rapper. It's called If You Are. Or no, the song's called Superstar. That's the name of the song. The first line is, if you are what you say you are, then have no fear, the camera's here. This is that for the Bucks, okay? I get it. Schedule's been tough. And people have been criticizing them. But the Bucks have played a lot of good teams, so it's not like they lose all their games against good teams. Yes, they lost to the Eagles. Yes, they lost to the Patriots. Yes, they lost on the road to Buffalo. And yes, they lost on the road to Detroit. But they beat Seattle, and that win's looking better and better on the road, okay? San Francisco's 7-4. Nobody's talking about them. That's a good team the Bucks beat. And with the win last night, Houston is now 6-5. Bucks went up there and won in week two in primetime, by the way, okay? So the Bucks have played, to this point, 10 games. They've played 7 against teams with a winning record, and they've played 3 against teams with a losing record. They're 3-0 against the teams with losing records, but even against the teams with winning records, they're 3-4, okay? That's not as good as you want it to be, but it's not. Everybody's acting like, oh, the Bucks only beat bad teams. No, the Bucks have beaten some good teams. You win some, you lose some. And 4 of those 6 have been on the road. And even if you want to say, okay, let's talk about the really good teams. Like, let's forget about Houston, who's 6-5. Let's throw out Detroit, who's 6-4. Let's talk about only teams who are, like, really good, like 4 games above 500 or better. That's Seattle, Philadelphia, New England. And the Bucks are 1-2 in those games. Okay. So here you go against the Rams. Now, if you are what you say you are, let's go up there and see it on Sunday night, you know? If they lose on Sunday night, now we can start saying, okay, well, you know what? Maybe they're just a cut below. Maybe they can beat all the bad teams, and maybe they can hang in with the good teams, but at the end of the day, they're not good enough to be in that top tier to get where we all hope they want to get. You know, we all think, I believe, at least I don't want to put your words in your mouth, but I think we all think they're good enough to win the NFC South, and maybe even good enough to win a playoff game. Are they good enough to be playing on divisional round weekend, or you know, maybe so, but, you know, conference championships, Super Bowl, which is what we all want, right? It's what everybody wants. And maybe not. Sunday was the first time I started to think, even though I knew it was going to be tough, and again, being 3-4 against the caliber of teams in that group of 7 I just mentioned is hardly means you're not good, and they could be 4-4 with a win against the Rams on Sunday night, but it still made me think on Sunday. I was like, I wonder if these guys have it. I know the injury thing, it keeps being an excuse, but it ain't going away, guys. I mean, yes, Bucky will be back next week. I hope Hassan Reddick comes back soon. If he does, I hope he's a factor. Mike Evans, okay, he'll be back at some point late in the season. That will help a lot. But, I mean, you know, Cody Mauch's not coming back. Kalijah Kancey's not coming back. You know, they need Dean and Reddick. They get the offensive injuries and the defensive injuries. They need Dean and Reddick the most. But they're not going to have them this week, and they're going to have to figure out. If you are what you say you are, then go out there and figure it out. Like I said, I mean, this is a tough Rams offense. Here's the thing about the Rams. They're good on both sides of the ball. That's why they're one of the best teams in the NFL. But, you know, I'm a little worried. Puka Nacua, Devontae Adams, Benjamin Morrison? I don't know, man. I don't know. Like I said, I want to see. Try to get Parrish in as many positions to be important, and try to get Morrison in as few positions as possible to be important on certain plays. Oh, and let me address real quick. John Ledyard on Twitter did a good job describing this, but everybody was really upset last week. There was the one play that got captured very well on the replay by the CBS. Was it CBS? I think it was CBS cameras against the Bills, where Anthony Nelson got beat by James Cook, and he's running all the way down the field trying to cover a running back out of the backfield, and they hit him for a long touchdown. And it's really not like people are thinking, oh, what is Todd Bowles? Todd Bowles tries this all the time. You can't cover so-and-so with Anthony Nelson. You can't cover a receiver or a running back with a defensive lineman. Whenever that happens, and again, John Ledyard described it well, it's not usually that he's got that guy straight up. He's got him in a certain part of the field. He may have him in the flat, you know, it's zone defense, but he's not supposed to be. He may have just recognized, hey, this is going all the way down the field, or maybe there was a mistake behind the guy or what. Anthony Nelson's job is not to run 40 yards down the field with James Cook. I guarantee you, for whatever criticisms you want to give of Todd Bowles, okay, he's not doing that. But it might look that way. And so, you know, and the Bucs have done it successfully, too. Nobody talks about those times, but they use a lot of combinations of things. I trust Todd Bowles, okay? I'm unhappy with that fourth down thing, but overall, I trust Todd Bowles. I don't think that we're undercoached. I don't think that our record, I think it might be one game better with a couple of decisions here and there, particularly, like I said, you know, they could have won that game Sunday. But the explosive plays, that type of stuff, I think that is going to, that's not going to be a consistent problem. I'm not worried about that. I am worried about what the Rams can do to you, especially in the red zone with guys like Nacua and Devontae Adams. I'm worried a little bit about the corner situation without Dean. And McCollum, Zion McCollum has not had the year, given what he did last year, you know, okay, step forward. He definitely hasn't, you know, like, what's the word I'm looking for? He definitely hasn't seized the day there, or the term I'm looking for. Not terrible. They're going to need more out of him, obviously, now that Dean's out for however long he's out. And hopefully it's not very long. But either way, this is a game the Bucs can absolutely win. It'll help Baker Mayfield a lot to have Chris Godwin back, I hope. I think it could. And, you know, the Bucs have been getting a lot out of Sean Tucker, and they can use him in tandem with Rashad White just fine. It doesn't mean I don't think Bucky Irving is not important, because I do. But I think they can get the job done there. And, you know, don't think, oh, we gotta take the air out of the football. I saw one preview saying, oh, the Bucs need to run the ball as much as they can. And they need to, no, they need to push the ball down the field and try to score as many points as quickly and efficiently as possible and accumulate those points at the end of the game. And if they can do that and their defense can be something better than what we saw last week, they'll have a chance to win this game late in the game. They really will. And the Rams are due not to play well. Again, situations work both ways. Bucks are coming off a couple losses. Rams have been playing really well situationally. I think that favors the Bucks a little bit. And I'm looking forward to seeing what they can do on Sunday night. I'm not worried about the primetime thing either. Like I said, it was after the Detroit game, right? That was the last. These primetime games the Bucks get ain't exactly gimmies. It's not like they get to play the Saints at home in primetime. They got to go on the road to Detroit. They got to go on the road to the Rams. They did win in Houston. These are tough games, man. This game wouldn't be any easier if it was on 4 o'clock on Sunday instead of 8:20. And if they do lose, I don't know, I hope they don't, but if they do, it won't be because the game was Sunday night football. Or Todd Bowles isn't good in primetime or whatever. It might be because Todd Bowles, if you look at the Todd Bowles, Sean McVay history, that's not great. That's another concern. Those are legitimate football concerns. But the whole primetime thing, I'm not, you know. Either way, it's going to be fun. I always love the team. I always tell you this. When I grew up, the Bucs playing in primetime was maybe once a year. It was like a special treat. Sometimes not at all. Never Monday night. They'd give them the cursory Sunday night football every once in a while. And so I still, perhaps it's like overly fetishized in my head, but like primetime games are always a big deal when the Bucks are in them. And I can't wait, especially this one, because the kids are off school all next week. It's Thanksgiving fall break. I don't know, some schools, the public schools are off the whole week. I used to go to school Thanksgiving week, and then we'd be off starting on Thursday. But they're off all week, so the kids can stay up and watch the game, too. You have a big party. Some people may have work on Monday, but others may have the whole holiday week off. Whatever it is, have a great time with it. If you want to get in touch with me, email me. Always love hearing from you. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com. BobbyGameDay. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com. That's Twitter. And on Blue Sky, you can find me. Email BobbyGameDay. Yahoo, all that stuff. Joe Bucks fan, I want to thank them for giving me the chance to be on here. The single best place anywhere, TV, internet, radio, joebucksfan.com is it for Bucks coverage. And to be on this platform is a privilege every week. Can't thank them enough. Thanks to you for listening. We'll do another show next week pre-Thanksgiving, hopefully talking about a 7-4 football team and not a 6-5 football team. But either way, all right, this is tough right now. Just stay the course, folks. Don't give up on anything. I think the Bucks have a chance to win on Sunday night. But either way, they are right in the thick of where they need to be right now. And this is part of the whole scene of an NFL season. Be safe. Have fun. Get together with friends on Sunday if you can. Have a party for the game. Either way, enjoy it. And wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.